skirt should have pockets.
Or maybe she lost it at Pilates.
3 and 2 and...
But she's not worried. With the Chase mobile app, she can lock her card till it turns up. Tools that help protect. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
At Target, count on our great deals just in time for Easter. Save $5 when you spend $30 on toys with Target Circle so you can fill their baskets with fun, like cuddly stuffed animals or 50-piece sidewalk chalk, all from only $5. Add an Easter chocolate faves at BOGO 50% off, from Cadbury to Reese's Mini Eggs and more. And get great family pics with new Easter looks. It's easy with 20% off dresses, polos, and more. Hop in fast for our best Easter deals, only at Target. Restrictions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. For the first time, Russia has vetoed a UN resolution to renew monitoring by UN experts of sanctions against North Korea, all aimed at helping curb its nuclear program. Russia, accused by the U.S. and allies of getting North Korea's weapons to use against Ukraine, State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller.
We've seen the DPRK transfer military equipment to Russia that has shown up on the battlefield in Ukraine. It's been used by Russia to further its war against Ukraine.
On New York's Long Island, Donald Trump, who is campaigning on being tough on crime, is attending the visitation of an NYPD officer today. Jonathan Diller was fatally shot in the line of duty during a traffic stop in Queens this week. President Biden attending a Biden-Harris fundraiser tonight in New York City. Former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton will also be at the event, where security will be heightened. And it's baseball's opening day, but not all 30 major league teams are playing. Rainout games for the Mets and the Phillies will take place Friday. This is ABC News. Idaho police and the FBI launching an investigation into claims from the University of Utah's women's basketball team that they were subject to racial slurs and harassment. They say that incident took place earlier this week after a team dinner as they prepared for the NCAA tournament.
The NCAA ultimately moving the team to a hotel more than 30 minutes away. The mayor apologizing.
All of us stand with you. We embrace you.
The NCAA says they provided increased security for the team until they were able to relocate to another hotel. Meantime, the local police department handling the case has been in contact with the FBI and the governor of Idaho, denouncing this incident, saying that we fully reject racism in all of its forms.
ABC's DeMarco Morgan. Funeral services for former Senator and 2000 Vice President candidate Joe Lieberman will be tomorrow in Stamford, Connecticut. He died yesterday at 82. I'm Michelle Franzen. ABC News.
This March, Wendy's has some amazing deals on their hamburgers made with fresh, never frozen beef.
Like a juicy Dave single for a buck and a fresh $2 Dave's double with an app offer.
It's such a good deal, we wrote a little ditty about it.
Get it for a buck. Dave single, order in the app. Dave single, get it for a buck. Choose wisely, choose Wendy's official hamburger March Madness.
Limited time offer, participating U.S. Wendy's. See offer details and redeem at Wendy's app. Account registration required. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Alaska.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The man accused of stabbing a woman in her Fond du Lac home last week was in the country illegally. Fermin Lopez Mendoza made his initial court appearance Wednesday. The 50-year-old Lopez Mendoza is charged with attempted homicide after allegedly stabbing a woman in the stomach Friday. The victim claims there's an extensive history of domestic violence with Lopez Mendoza. Following his arrest Saturday in rural Ozaukee County, Federal Homeland Security confirmed to the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office that Lopez Mendoza is illegally in the United States. His cash bond was set at $2 million. Wisconsin's homelessness rate is trending upwards, according to a new report. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says the number of homeless Wisconsinites is up after years of decline. Report says pressures from the pandemic pushed many people out of their homes as they lost their jobs, and the sudden rise in home prices and rent only made it harder for people to get back into a permanent home. The forum says Wisconsin communities need to look at expanding transitional housing for homeless people and try to make up the difference in lost federal stimulus funds to continue to provide shelter. A new take on an old scam.
The Dane County Sheriff's Office says the use of artificial intelligence in telephone scams is becoming more common. Specifically, the grandparent scam has become even more believable. This scam targets older people and leads them to believe a grandchild is in some sort of distress and needs money. Authorities say scammers are now taking online videos and using AI to create a recording using the person's voice. Not only do we have to be on alert on our phones, the Sheriff's Office says we should also use more caution in what we're sharing on social media. In Madison, Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service keep your vehicle's maintenance up to date. With SmartFlow from Adams Super Service, you will see what your vehicle needs, along with a detailed inspection texted directly to you. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Your Napa Gold Certified Car Care Center is Adams Super Service of Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, sunshine, temps in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly clear and a low around 16. Slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, otherwise partly sunny, with highs in the mid-40s. Rain is likely Friday night with a low of 33. Saturday, clouds and a high of 43. For Sunday, chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy, a high of 47. And rain likely on Monday, 48. It's 34 at our studios.
As well, USDA's much-awaited reports were delivered. So, what's next? We will break down the reports and imagine exactly what is next for the grain markets.
Live from opening day at the K via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Chad Hart from Iowa State University. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, you know, so here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very busy day. Markets are closed tomorrow. We're getting ready for tomorrow's shows, or I should say getting tomorrow's shows ready. It's been a busy day, which has kind of kept my mind off of the fact that it is opening day. Thank you for bringing that back into my vision. And I had like 4 minutes just a little bit ago. I had like 4 minutes. Got on Twitter, was taking a look around, and I found the coolest montage of baseball movies I think I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Of course, I lost 5 minutes of my time in watching this thing, but I couldn't stop watching it. It's got me so fired up about baseball again, it ain't even funny, dude.
Chip, you got to take time for what makes you happy. You know what I mean?
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Oh.
It is opening day. It is prospective plantings report day. It is quarterly grain stocks report day. Hogs and pigs report was just released. We'll try to get to that at the end of the show. Leading up to it, of course, we're going to have a conversation with Chad Hart at Iowa State. All right, dude, let's get to it. What you got?
Well, Chip, wheat futures traded higher for most of the session and follow the rally in corn futures to post the highest close since March 4. Other spring wheat acres this year are expected to total 11.335 million. That's about 440,000 more than traders expected and up about 135,000 acres from last year. Wheat stocks in all positions on March 1 at 1.087 billion bushels were up 158 million bushels from a year ago and 17 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. In the morning's weekly export sales report for the weekend of March 21, wheat sales totaled nearly 340,000 metric tons. That topped lackluster trade expectations. July HRW wheat futures were 5¾ cents higher, 579¾. July SRW wheat up 13 cents, 575¾. July spring wheat at, well, at last report, 652 and a half, down 4¾. Still waiting on that close on the spring wheat.
Yeah, still waiting on the settlement there. Nothing really overly negative for the wheat market. Everything was driven by corn in the wheat trade today.
Well, corn claimed the golden ticket of increased volatility from today's USDA reports. USDA's survey of growers revealed intentions to plant just 90 million acres to corn in 2024. That's down about 4.6 million acres from last year and 1.7 million below the average pre-report trade estimate. That was enough to send corn futures sharply higher. May corn opened near session lows and posted a high-range close, although settlement prices were well off session highs. Corn posted an upside reversal on the daily chart. Corn stocks in all positions, March 1 of 8.35 billion bushels were up about 950 from last year, but were 80 million bushels below the average trade guess. Corn export sales weekended March 21 of 1.2 million metric tons were at the high end of trade expectations. May corn futures today, 15¼ cents higher at 442. July corn up 15¼ to 454½. December corn futures closed at 477¾, up 15½ cents, Chip.
Backed off the highs, but still a very positive day in the corn market.
Soybean export sales weekended March 21 totaled 264,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations and had the bean market under pressure early in the session. May beans opened mostly steady, fell to spike support at last week's low, then rallied back to $12 on support from the gains in corn futures. Prices then pulled back to close just below the opening range. Bean plantings this year expected to total 85.61 million acres, up nearly 3 million acres from a year ago, right in line with trade expectations, Chip. Bean stocks in all positions, March 1, 1.85 billion bushels. That's up 158 million bushels from a year ago and 17 million bushels above trade expectations. May beans were a penny lower, 11.91 and a half. July beans down 1¼ to 12.05¼. November beans closed at 11.86 and 1/4, up 2¾ cents, Chip.
Mixed trade in the product markets. July soybean meal down $1.60. July bean oil up 26 points.
Cotton export sales weekended March 21 of 98,200 running bales were up 46% from the four-week average. Cotton plantings in 2024 are expected to total 10.673 million acres, up about 44,000 from last year, 444,000, that's right, from last year, but 230,000 below trade expectations. July cotton today 53 points higher at 91.97. And on the livestock, beef export sales, 12,700 metric tons, just above the four-week average, and cattle futures continued to claw back early week losses. April live cattle were $1.40 higher at 185 even. June futures up $1.57½ to 180.25, and April feeders 25 cents higher, 247.12½. And on the snout side, pork export sales, 55,300 metric tons, a new marketing year high, up nearly two-thirds from the four-week average. Mexico easily stood at the top of the buyer's list and accounted for nearly 33,000 metric tons of the sales. Front month lean hog futures closed higher in each of the holiday shortened week's days. Mm-hmm. April hogs 52½ higher, 86.62½. June contract off 15 cents, 101.45, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
You know, all things considered, I'm doing really well. It could have been a different story had things flipped the other way, but a good way to round out the week here, a long weekend at that. We got opening day and some college hoops on later this evening. Dude, what gets better than that?
I don't know. The only thing is, the biggest problem is I've got about a 3.5 hour break from the end of this show until the Cubs and the Rangers. We see the first pitch there, so.
Yeah, I don't know what you do to fill the void there. Sorry.
I'll have to find something, won't I? Yeah. What did you like better, the corn trade or the cattle trade?
I kind of like cattle. I've been leaning a little bit more on the cautious side here over the last several weeks, just seasonally and fundamentals kind of stalling out. But I think, you know, the for lack of better terms, bloodbath that we saw earlier in the week was way overextended. And I think it was just a culmination of so many different things thrown at the market at one specific time, that being the bearish cattle on feed report. We talked about the avian flu, a technical breakdown in a quarter one. Any one of those things in and of itself, I don't think would have been enough to really spark the panic that we saw earlier in the week. But all together, at the end of the quarter, with funds long about 60,000 contracts after running the market up, you know, for 3 months straight, basically, I think that sparked just a bigger breakdown than what was warranted. I think we can get June back up to 182. I think that's going to be a big tug of war area. So we'll kind of reevaluate things if we get back up there.
Gotcha. Can you imagine if even corn could close 2 cents higher on Monday? It'll be great.
It'll be great. I mean, from the technical perspective, the charts are looking pretty good. We got a nice close above the 50-day moving average for the first time in what seems like a lifetime for that May contract. And we've got December with a nice strong close. A lot of resistance up here just north of 480. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get some follow through and kind of shake things up into the spring, which we got the number that at least starts to shift the conversation a little bit.
All right, let's get it from a third party. Illini or Cyclones tonight?
Cyclones, baby.
Amen, brother. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, Oliver.
You too. Take care.
Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We got Chad Hart from Iowa State up next.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device,
you know,
AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Yeah, this is it.
Let's see. What bracket are the Cyclones in? Would that be the East? Have the fans all headed east to Boston?
To Boston.
Boston. Just another bandada. Welcome
bandada.
Back.
Bandada. Now, I've heard of bandanas. I'm not sure what a bandada
bandada
is. Yeah.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. That is Davis Michelson. And we've got a lot of ground to cover in this afternoon show. Before I get to Chad Hart, though, I do want to mention this. The quarterly Hogs and Pigs report was released this afternoon, back at the top of the hour, and the number of all hogs and pigs, or inventory of all hogs and pigs on March 1, 74.6 million head, up 1% from a year ago. Trade was looking for steady numbers there. Breeding inventory, 6.02 million head, down 2%. I believe that's right in line with what the trade was anticipating there. Let me get that. No, the average trade guess on the breeding herd was down 3.5%. We've got it down 2%. And then the market hog inventory, 68.6 million head, up 1% from a year ago. The trade was looking for 100.3% of year ago. So might be a little negative. We'll have to put some perspective on that as the show goes on. Chad Hart, Crops Marketing Specialist, Iowa State University Extension, is our guest analyst. Chad, it's good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
It's good to be here, Chip.
Yeah, glad you are. Wow. It's amazing to me, but the end of March report, whether we get the volatility boost from the grain stocks report or from the prospective plantings report, we always seem to find a source of volatility. And like Davis said in the news, corn kind of got the golden ticket today with a boost in volatility because of that, the acreage intentions, right?
Oh, it definitely did. And in fact, I would say the run up to, you know, today was we were worried about that volatility being on the other side, that we were worried that, you know, the corn number was going to come out above USDA's 91 million acre estimate that we pulled from the Ag Outlook Forum. And so
right. It
was a good day for the corn market.
Yeah. Well, dude, I was solidly on the other side. I was thinking 92 was the base. Because of the conditions that we had last fall, because beans never really put on a full court press to get acres. I've still got a long list of reasons why I thought 92 million would be the base. And instead, here we are at 90. How did we get that low?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors, because I got to admit, I liked the 91 number going in, so I was surprised to see the 90, though, as well. And when you look at the shift we saw, you know, across the nation, I was expecting the northern plains to move away from corn more than they did. But what we saw was especially the southern plains and throughout the southeast, very strong movements there away from corn, some of that going into cotton, some of that going into beans, some of that just not getting planted.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when you said that, it reminded me, I want to go really big picture here for a moment. And one of the numbers that we get from USDA is the principal crops area planted. And I mean, guys, this includes everything from corn down to proso millet, sugar cane, double crop. I mean, it's in there when we look at these principal crops planted. A year ago, the number was 319.6 million acres. This year, 313.3, down 6.3 million acres. Chad, what gives?
Oh yeah, like I say, it was a gigantic pullback, and a lot of this to me comes back to two features. One, in general, crop prices are lower now than they've been over the past couple of years, and two, the lingering impacts of the drought. Because as we look across the country, where we saw the biggest pullback in terms of overall crop plantings, it's that southern plains area. Okay. Kansas was down over 5%. Oklahoma down nearly 6%. Texas down 5.5%. So the idea is you saw a lot of movement, and in this case, a lot of movement to not plant something on acres in the Southern Plains.
So weather can still change that, or is it too late already?
Well, that's the deal. When you look at these principal crop numbers, USDA doesn't tend to miss too much on the low side. If they're going to miss, they tend to be too high as opposed to too low.
Really?
Over the past, you know, decade, when they've missed low, it's been by like a half million acres at most, or half a million acres at most. When they miss high, and that's typically because of the planting delays, there's where we can see the 2 to 3, the 4 million acre movements.
Wow. Okay. So it does feel like, you know, because the planting season is so is well along in the Southwest, it feels like it might be a little too late there. Okay.
Yep. So, and one of the things I was watching, for example, was sorghum. You know, the idea is if you're keying off the Southern Plains, and what we saw down there on the sorghum side, down 11% compared to last year. So there's a crop that's drought tolerant. You'd figure it fits well, but nope, we're seeing a pullback in that area.
Yep. Okay. Soybean plantings, what was it, 86.5 in the planting intentions report? How'd that line up with your expectations?
I got to admit, you know, I was fairly comfortable with that. USDA originally had 87.5 out there. So it was down a million from those early estimates. But yeah, we did see a nice push there. And there's where I was watching North Dakota, and North Dakota popped up really strong there. They added 700,000 acres on the soybean ledger as we look. But we saw growth in soybeans pretty well across the entire country. The exceptions would be, again, the Southern Plains, and then Alabama and South Carolina were down a little bit as well. But everybody else was adding, especially in this case. I'll point out also, look to the Eastern Corn Belt. Indiana up 4.5%, Ohio up over 5%.
Okay. So maybe in those areas, maybe the economics of the bean market were strong enough over the winter to attract more bean acres. Is that kind of the bottom line?
I think that is the bottom line, especially as I look at the eastern side. And when I'm looking at North Dakota, you can think about those, you know, those potential soybean crushing facilities that are being, you know, talked about up there.
Yep,
I think that's helping hold that acreage up there in, you know, North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota.
Okay. 176.5 million combined corn and soybeans, Chad. That seems light.
Oh, yeah. And I got to admit, that's the deal. I think everybody was sort of caught off guard by that. You know, like I say, when I look back at USDA's initial estimates, basically both corn and soybeans lost a million acres compared to that. So they're, you know, down in total two, which is basically what's showing up here. When we look at the industry estimates, they were expecting that 2 million acres to be in play somewhere here, and they weren't.
Right. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to the balance sheets then. Does it change the narrative? Does it change the outlook for the corn market?
It doesn't necessarily change the narrative, but it changes the scale that we're looking at there. Because as I looked at this, I'm like, what I saw in terms of the stock levels, it helped reduce the overhang, if you will. Okay. The shrinkage of that million acres in corn shaved about 159 million bushels off of estimated production. So instead of being north of 15 billion, now we're at 14.88. But that's still above current demand estimates as we look for the 2024 crop for corn. Beans, again, that million acres coming off took about 51 million bushels off the expected production number. So instead of looking at a record bean crop coming this year, now it's number two, barely under what we did back in 2021, if I remember right. And so you did see the crop shrink a bit in terms of that balance sheet, but we still have larger supplies or larger production than we've got on the usage ledger.
Okay. So we haven't done the grain stocks report yet. We're coming up on a break. But the bottom, I'm not hearing a major influence on your price outlook yet.
Not a big push here. I'm going to argue this. What this does was it kept me at break even for both crops.
Kept you at break even. That's disappointing. You know what I mean? You would think that if we trim 2 million combined off of the corn and wheat acres, or corn and soybean acres, that we could get some plus signs compared to break even in there. But we will talk about that more. We've got to get to the grain stocks report, figure out what it means as far as the usage pace on corn and soybeans in particular, and what that might mean for the balance sheets going forward. We're talking with Chad Hart, Iowa State University, here on AgriTalk.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 5 3/4 higher at 579 3/4. July SRW wheat up 13 cents, 575 3/4. And boop, 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 breaking news. July spring wheat finally closed at 653, down 4 1/4 on the day. May corn futures 15 1/4 cents higher, 442. Dece corn futures 477 3/4, up 15 1/2 cents. May soybeans a penny lower, 11.91 1/2. Novi beans closed at 11.86 1/4. That's up 2 3/4 cents. July cotton 53 points higher, 91.97. On the livestocks, April fat cattle 1.40 higher, 1.85 on the snout. April feeders 25 cents higher, 247.12 1/2. And April lean hog futures 52 1/2 cents higher at 86.62 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Try profarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For the rest of today, sunshine, temps in the low 30s. For tonight, mostly clear and a low around 16. Slight chance of rain tomorrow afternoon, otherwise partly sunny, with highs in the mid-40s. Rain is likely Friday night with a low of 33. Saturday, clouds and a high of 43. For Sunday, chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy, a high of 47. And rain likely on Monday, 48.
It's 34 at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
The news was breaking today with the USDA reports, prospective planning, quarterly grain stocks report, and the quarterly hogs and pigs report released today. We are talking with Chad Hart, Iowa State University crops marketing specialist at the Extension Service there. And Chad, we covered a lot of ground on the acres in the last segment. Let's go to the quarterly grain stocks report. Corn stocks on March 1, 8.347 billion bushels. Trade was looking for 8.427, so missed it by 80 million bushels. Came in 80 million bushels below the trade expectations. But it was up about 950 million bushels from a year ago. So what do we make of those March 1 stocks on corn?
Well, that's the deal. As you say, the idea is they're up compared to last year, but down compared to where we thought they would be. And I think that's very encouraging. What I really liked was the disappearance number. When you look at that December to the February disappearance number, we were up about 400 million bushels compared to last year. It's good to see additional corn being utilized. And that bodes well as we look forward over the next couple of quarters.
Right. On farm stocks on March 1, just called 5.1 billion bushels. That was up almost 25% from a year ago. The off-farm stocks, 3.3 billion bushels, down 23 million bushels, less than a percent from a year ago. So a big increase in the on-farm stocks. What does that make you think?
Well, that's the deal. And it's something that I've been hearing about for the past few months as I travel around farm country, that everybody's talking about how grain wasn't moving that much and what's being held is held on farm. And this report definitely confirmed that. And what it also confirms, though, is that we know that crop's got to get moving to make room for the crop we're trying to plant, just one we just talked about there. So we know that that puts a cap on how big our rallies can get, because we do have a lot of corn sitting on farm that's going to need to hit the market soon.
Yeah. So the guys that have got corn on farm, and it's not just you that heard the story. I heard the story. It seems like every guest analyst that has been on has made a comment about, you know, the higher than normal level of ownership that farmers still have on old crop corn. What does that mean for the market going forward?
Well, like I said, I do think it limits the upside as we're looking at there. And it also makes sense given what farmers have been doing and investing in over the past few years. They have taken the proceeds that we've gotten, reinvested it on the farm, whether it's trying to get additional land, but I think we put up a fair amount of storage to help hold the crop. They're looking at the weather conditions, thinking we could see a pop. And so they're betting on the come, and they've definitely done that here. As we look at both corn and soybeans in terms of what we're holding in storage right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That usage number that you referenced, up about 400 million bushels from the same quarter a year ago. Can we even improve on that pace?
It's possible. I mean, I think when you look at that, what's been helping us here is I can point to exports, definitely seeing a stronger pace there than we did last year. And I think this goes back to, you mentioned the hogs and pigs report, the cattle on feed report. We're seeing, I think, better feed demand now than we had expected, say, 6 months ago.
And boy, if we could have just a bit of a problem with that Safrinha corn crop down in Brazil and have that turn into some extra demand in the export market, that might be the real golden ticket for corn.
I would agree with that. The idea is, I think when you look here, I would say what we've seen thus far is corn exports have recovered back to almost around our five-year average. Yeah. When we look out there, you give me a little problem down in Brazil, and that opens up some greater opportunities there that could lead to some additional pop in the market.
Yeah. If nothing else, everything that I've seen on corn right now, Chad, makes me think, And I was growing. I was preparing for a dull growing season. You know, we might have some issues. We might have a few delays during the planting season. There might be a midsummer scare. But I just did not think that the corn market was going to was going to be sensitive to that kind of news, that kind of a headline. With missing, in my mind, a couple of million corn acres, with the usage pace that we've seen, all of a sudden, the corn market does seem vulnerable to some increased volatility this summer if that weather issue shows up. And do you think I'm off base on that?
Oh, no. I definitely agree with that. In fact, as I'm looking here, like I say, what we've done is we've tightened things up a bit, both in, from an old crop and new crop perspective for corn, and that's leading to some support that we hadn't been seeing for a while. If you think where prices settled out today, that basically put us back to where we were basically at the beginning of February. Mm-hmm. So we've seen this nice little bounce off the bottom. It's got us back. We, you know, we're still not seeing strong prices, but at least we have sort of found the bottom. We floated up above that now. And like I say, we're in range of where I can talk about break even and maybe some small profitability out for 2024.
I get it. So, you know, for some of us, it is changing the narrative because it is changing my outlook here. And you know, we got to keep track of and realize that intentions are just that, and they can and very likely will change between now and the time the last kernel of corn or corn seed goes in the ground. But the bias is towards fewer corn acres than what the market was expecting. No question about that. Okay, on soybeans, got to get my specs back on here. Soybeans, March 1 stocks, 1.845 billion bushels. Trade expected 1.828 billion. So just a little bit above the trade expectations. And compared to a year ago, we are up 158 million bushels on March 1 bean stocks. What does that make you think?
Yep. So in this case, I would say this is the one thing that I took as negative from the reports today. You know, the idea is we're looking at the not only stock levels higher compared to last year. Again, a lot of that, almost all that, well, actually all that growth is an on-farm storage. And when you looked at the quarterly disappearance, down 13% compared to last year. So where corn was, everything was moving in the right direction for us here, at least on the stock side, everything, it wasn't bad, but it was moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So let's bring South America and Brazil in particular into the conversation like we did on corn. They're finding more acres is what it seems like to me, Chad, that, you know, it's not like the bean yield on this year's crop was some spectacular yield. They just planted even more acres than what we thought they did 30 days ago. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing. Well, but it comes back to, again, I mean, that's been the big question throughout most of the winter, is trying to figure out just what that Brazilian bean crop looks like.
Yeah.
USDA has held a fairly high number compared to almost all the private numbers that we've seen out there, and especially compared to CONAB. But the idea is, I think every time we look at that crop, you're right. The idea is that there seem to be more planted than we expected. It's not a yield boost this year. It's an acreage boost.
Yep. Yeah, Brian Grady at Pro Farmer had conversation with a couple of the USDA economists about that number, the Brazilian bean number, and had it in Pro Farmer newsletter here a couple of weeks ago. And when they went to the acres, all of a sudden it became easier to buy into that, the USDA being above the private industry on that number, because They're looking at some pretty sophisticated satellite imagery and so on, and getting that number and putting it in place. Okay, attitude on beans then. We talked about your attitude on corn. when it comes to marketing. What's your attitude on soybeans?
Well, that's still beans. I hate to say this, but both crops are in the same boat.
Okay.
You know, as you're looking at pricing right now, it's pricing right around break even for the 2024 season. And this report didn't move it that much from that. The challenge is going to be here. Yep, production got a little smaller with, in terms of expected production, but we're not seeing that demand growth that we need to get usage to catch up to production.
Sensitivity to weather growing, to summer growing conditions, high or low for beans?
It actually, I would argue, got higher with this report. Just because, yeah, we don't have 87.5 million coming at us. We got 86.5. And so when I'm looking at production of, 4.45, and I've got total usage right now for 2024 estimated 4.4, we're not building stocks up by that much.
Okay. All right. So the next 60 days, really, it's the focus is going to be on the supply side of the market.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll go back to, as you said here, the idea is all it's going to take is a couple of little foibles as we get out there and try to plan. If we see some delays, that's going to help reinforce these relatively small numbers on plantings.
Yep, that's right. Okay, good stuff. One last thing, buddy. You know what I'm going to say? Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones tonight.
Tonight is a big night. It's probably a good thing the markets are closed tomorrow, Chad.
It's good for me, at least.
Yeah, it's good for me. It's going to help me. All right, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Crops Marketing Specialist. Davis and I will be right back.
To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
ZipRecruiter's smart technology can quickly scan thousands of resumes, helping you find qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Spring forward with a new hiring partner, ZipRecruiter, and find top talent sooner. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Bob. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
Chris Weaver is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor from Maryland. He joins us right now. Chris, look ahead to this season that's coming up. What are your plans for the genetics and what are you anticipating?
So we bought a new planter this year, so we've been retrofitting it all season long. So that's one of the big challenges we've been dealing with this winter. We're glad to finally get the moisture. We're getting rain. We're getting a snowfall. So we're seeing our water table increase. One of the big challenges we're going to be faced with, again, is how do we continue to keep growing these high yields? And how do we push the envelope? You know, my goal is to be the first guy to 200 bushel no-till non-irrigated.
Okay.
And I think we're on the way. We've done 160. We've gone down since then, but we're going to push it till we get to 200 bushel. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything correctly. We're already out starting to get our fertilizer out there. We're trying to mitigate humic, sugars, everything out on the field right now. We're already stalk management and everything's already done. So we're pretty well set for the table. We just need Mother Nature to cooperate.
All right. You're in kind of a unique position that you're also a Golden Harvest seed advisor. How do you take what you learn each and every year and transfer that knowledge over to your customers?
So it's great to be a seed advisor because now I get to see the genetics most times before it's released on the market. We get to do plots. So we can take that experience and say, guys, we've already planted it. Now we can figure out, hey, if you got a shale soil, this is the right bean for that shale soil. The thing that we do for corn is we pick the right hybrid for the right acre. We don't do that for beans. We buy boxes, right? So the one thing that we've been telling guys is you need to start picking the bean for the right acre. We're getting ahead in the future here, by doing that.
Yeah, the point that you're making about making sure that the right product is on that right acre. Without the equipment and the precision equipment that we've got, it all works together.
It all starts at the planter, okay? Yeah. We all agree. But if you're not putting the right seed through that planter on the right acre, then your planting just went to hell in a handbasket is what I like to say.
Yep. Get it right from the beginning. Chris Weaver, grower in Finksburg, Maryland. He is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo Herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty Herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Acuron. Discover 5 to 15 more bushels per acre with Acuron corn herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here trying to keep Chip Flory focused. Flory,
yo,
we got you?
What?
Huh?
Excuse me?
I thought so. Great conversation with Chad Hart just then from the Iowa State University, who will be playing basketball tonight, as I understand. There's a
Chad Hart will be playing basketball tonight?
No. The Cyclones that represent him will be.
They've got a game?
In competition, as I understand.
Yeah. Really?
I hear they don't have, I really don't know if they've got a shot from what I've heard. These Illinois boys are tough. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm just going to say.
I don't think they've got much of a chance at all.
You're lying. You're just trying not to jinx your bracket. That's what you're doing.
I just hope we don't embarrass ourselves.
No.
That's all I'm hoping for.
I'm sure you'll do fine.
No. I still can't believe that we got to wait until, 9:10 mm-hmm. to toss the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I'm 19 and a half minutes from first pitch here in Kansas City against the Twins.
I'm not even sure what time the first pitch is for the Cubs and Rangers.
Man, you are slipping. You're slipping. What's
happened
to you?
Dude, it's been one of those days. Today is the day.
Yeah, today is the day.
The day that the market hands out the golden tickets.
That's right. And not only that, tomorrow the market is shut down.
Closed.
Yeah, closed for Good Friday.
That's right. That's right. Happy Easter, everybody.
Now, AgriTalk will roll on. We've got some good stuff for you. A whole fresh steaming bucket of AgriTalk for you.
Sean Hackett.
Tomorrow we got Sean Hackett. don't miss that one. 2:06 Central Time. And then, of course, the free-for-all we've got tomorrow
right.
morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Through the magic of radio, we'll be able to do that,
Yeah. I think there's some time travel involved in it, too.
There may be. We really can't talk about it. We really can't. Chad Hart, a lot of talk about the report of the potential implications, and feel free to throw that in here, but I do want to start where he started. Farmers have been building plenty of storage and are willing to wait on the come.
Yeah.
That sounds a little scary to me.
On the grain stocks numbers with the amount of the crop that is stored on farm. I agree. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out this year, because with ownership, now before I say this, I'm going to say this first. It's easiest for corn to rally when farmers are sold out. Okay?
That makes sense. Yep.
When farmers are sold out, that's the easiest way to get corn to rally. But in most commodity markets, with ownership comes leverage.
Okay.
Okay?
The problem is
everybody's got to do exactly the same thing in order for that leverage to work. And can you imagine trying to herd that, or, you know, corral that herd of cats?
No.
If it's not impossible, it's next to it. So there's that thought process that we at least need to consider, that if that ownership is in strong enough hands because of the good revenue that they've had over the past 2 years, because of a series of other things, that if they can maintain that ownership deep enough into the season, could it have an influence? I don't know. It's been a long, long time since farmers have had this level of ownership in the cash market, the physical cash market. It's either going to be really bad or help a little bit. One of the two.
And so if everybody gets to thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to wait till the market flushes out, everybody sells out, and then that's when I'm going to sell.
Right.
But if everybody thinks that, then we never get the flush.
And you could see some movement in basis because of it. Some strength in basis because of that. Yeah.
Well, based on this morning's conversation based on tomorrow's conversation, I think we'll get a look at the weather is what we'll do with Sean Hackett. And he's always talking about those cycles. You know, it's interesting to think about what those cycles may hold for us. Cause you're into it. Was it the Gleisenflusen cycle? Gleisberg.
Gleisberg. Yes. Yeah. The 89 year cycle.
Yeah.
89 year cycle. I've been talking about it and writing about it and listening to Elwin Taylor at Iowa State University talk about it for a lot of years. So we're going to add to that conversation tomorrow with Sean Hackett, because, you know, when the cycles start to line up and patterns start to repeat, you got to pay attention.
Yep.
And it feels like the patterns are repeating on this one. Hey. And the cycles are definitely starting to line up and come together. So we need to watch it and watch it very closely.
Super quick. We got 90 million acres to corn. And what was the number on beans? 85.6. Are those the lowest prints we'll see all year?
It is for corn.
Okay.
I think that'll probably be part of the conversation going forward. But, yeah, I would think so. Good. Hey, look at this.
Whoa.
National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook for April 3rd through the 7th.
She's a beaut.
We got above normal temperatures back into the Corn Belt. Southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio looking at near normal temperatures. But the rest of the Corn Belt is above normal on the temperatures. We've got above normal precipitation in western Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, western Nebraska, near normal precip. Kansas through southeast Nebraska, Iowa, and into Wisconsin, and then below normal precip expected over in the eastern Corn Belt and down in Missouri. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got a free-for-all for you right here on AgriTalk.
All right, let's see here. Acuron Corn Herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and out-yields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives, so it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy, she sleeps well, she's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I am so confident your dog will love